Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Vice Chair Hugel. Lynn, please call the roll.
Chair Hudson?
Here.
Vice Chair Hugel?
Here.
Senator Beniquisto? Senator Bracey? Senator Brandis?
Here.
Senator Brannon? Senator Gibson?
Here.
Senator Stube?
Here.
Senator Thurston? Senator Young?
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please silence all electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form and give to the administrative assistant. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. And members, we're going to go ahead and turn to tab 2, Senate Bill 314 on mortgage brokering by Senator Baxley. Senator Baxley, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Appreciate you hearing the bill today. You've seen this bill last year, and it actually passed everywhere, but we got some other things amended to it. By the before it got to the governor, then it was in trouble because of some of the amendments. So we're back to do this simple thing, which is to clarify who is and who is not a mortgage broker. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I have a question, Mr.
Hugel. Yes, Senator Hugel, and I'll open it up back and forth so y'all can.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. These licensed security deals, can they get paid? I know they can't take an application. They can't offer to accept an application. Can they get paid for the referral?
They are paid as employees, but it's usually a referral that they're actually operating a different role in the bank, and they're simply guiding this person to the person who is a mortgage broker. And there's some lack of clarity about that. So some of the folks that are simply referrals in the banking system and in the banking world, they're not trying to be broker a mortgage. They're trying to connect them to the person who will broker the mortgage.
Right. So, follow up? But can they get paid if they're just doing a referral, pure referral, and they don't have any, you know, substantive involvement in this application, et cetera? Can they get paid for that?
Yes, but I think they could be. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, appearance forms. I have Warren Husband.
Waiving and support on behalf of the securities industry and financial markets.
Waiving and support. Thank you, sir. Katie Crowfoot. Board of Bankers waiving and support. And last, we have Brian Pitts.
Thank you very much, Brian Pitts, Justice Jesus. Yes, it's a core staff brings about why the governor vetoed another section of it, which that's not the issue here. There's nothing wrong with free enterprise. And on this, I thought it would just be a clean slate and just put them exempt, period. No, there's still conditions. And if you see in the bill, they still stick them with two conditions they have to try to fit into and not cross the line on. The problem I have with that is you have others who are completely exempt. They'll need the licensure in the story. Why not them? So I say the bill needs to be amended to completely make them exempt with none of the conditions, even the two that are added here. Why should they have to still think within that margin? Again, we're talking here about people who already know this field. Security dealers, investment advisors, and associated persons with them. Do you understand the licensure requirement and registration they have to go through? Now, that definitely if they're dealer advisors, if they deal with mortgage-backed securities, they know exactly what the concept of a mortgage from beginning to end is. My fact to advise, or especially in the case of a security investor who is advising as the investor and, I'm sorry, the other one before that, even more so, dealer clearly knows what a mortgage-backed security is from beginning to end. They could do it themselves if they wanted to. So with that type of education experience, why should they have any conditions to fall under like this bill has? I think the sponsor needs to amend it, make them completely exempt, and even if they want to go off on their own and conduct the mortgage business, they are already qualified beyond what 454, yeah, that's what it is. That's minuscule compared to what they already, they far exceed the requirements for licensure for a mortgage broker, dealer, originator. Because of the very experience, the testing they go through, the licensure they have to go through, that I find that
he needs to completely make them exempt. It's not good enough for me. It needs to be completely sweep and let them do everything.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Is there any debate on the bill? All right, seeing no debate, Senator Baxley, you are recognized to close on the bill.
I waive close.
Lynn, please call the roll on SB 314.
Senator Beniquisto? Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Senator Brannon?
Yes.
Senator Gibson?
Yes.
Senator Stube?
Yes.
Senator Thurston? Senator Young?
Yes.
Vice Chair Huckel?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes. And by your vote, Senate Bill 314 is reported favorably.
Thank you.
All right, members, we're going to go back to tab one. I'm going to take up tab one. That's Senate Bill 296 on beverage law by Senator Brandis. Senator Brandis, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can we just move to the strike all?
Yes, Senator Brandis, we could absolutely move to the strike all. And I don't have any appearance cards on the amendment, so we'll take up the strike all now. Delete all amendment barcode 959746 by Senator Brandis. You are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment removes the provision in law that requires a restaurant patron to purchase and consume a full course meal consisting of a salad or vegetable entree and beverage and bread in order to be able to leave a restaurant with a partially consumed bottle of wine. Under this amendment, the restaurant patron will still have to purchase a meal to take their partially consumed bottle of wine home. The amendment also repeals the wine and cider container limits, making them consistent with federal law. That is the strike-all amendment. The substantial difference is that we remove the IPA-to-go provision of the original underlying bill.
Thank you, Senator Brandis. Having explained your bill, are there any questions?
Purchase a meal. Okay.
See no questions? Okay, yes, Senator.
Can we just clarify?
Go ahead.
You know what? This mic, I need a different mic. it says you have to consume a meal. Is that correct, Senator Brandis? But not specify that it's got to have a salad or a vegetable, et cetera, et cetera. Is that
That's
it?
Correct.
Okay.
We're deregulating the receipt.
Deregulating what?
The restaurant receipt.
Any other questions on the bill? Any debate on the amendment? All right, without any objections, let's just show that amendment adopted. Let's go back to the bill as amended. And are there any questions on the bill as amended? There are some appearance forms. I have Jason Unger with Gray Robinson.
Seven Wineries, Lakewoods, and San Sebastian wave in support.
Okay, Seven Wineries waves in support. Warren Husband, Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, also waving support. Thank you. Josh Abishan with the Florida Brewers Guild, waving in support. And Andrew Hosick with Americans for Prosperity, waving in support. Thank you. That is all the public testimony. We are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate. Senator Brandis, you're recognized to close on your bill as amendment.
Thank you. We've historically run this Merlot-to-go bill as an amendment, but I appreciate your support on this bill and waive my close.
Having closed on the bill, please call the roll for CS for SB 296.
Senator Beniquisto?
Yes.
Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Senator Brannon?
Yes.
Senator Gibson?
Yes.
Senator Stube? Senator Thurston?
Yes.
Senator Young?
Yes.
Vice Chair Huckel?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes. And by your vote, CS for SB 296 is reported favorably. Okay, now we are moving to tab three, Senate Bill 374 on fantasy contests by Senator Young. And Senator Young, you also have a delete all. Would you like to take the amendment up?
Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is kind of introduce the bill and then move into the delete all.
That's perfectly fine. So you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is, I believe, the fourth time that we will voted on this bill relating to fantasy sports contests. The bill clarifies the legality of fantasy sports in Florida. Fantasy sports are games of skill that are enjoyed by more than 3 million Floridians and around 50 million Americans all over the country. They enjoy playing these games, and we need to make sure that the individuals that are playing fantasy sports are not subject to some criminal penalties because of any uncertainty in our statute. There are several requirements that need to be met for these contests to take place, and this bill simply puts those requirements into statute and clarifies that it is not gambling because these contests are games of skill. With your permission, I'll move into the strike call.
Yes, let's take up barcode 402748 by Senator Young. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment revises the definition of fantasy contest to provide that a winning outcome may not be based on the performances of participants in collegiate, high school, or youth sporting events. It revises the definition of fantasy contest operator to, one, include the employees or agents of the individuals or entities that offer or conduct fantasy contests, and, two, require that a fantasy contest operator not participate in the fantasy contest. The amendment also clarifies that DBPR may not regulate and the gambling laws do not apply to a fantasy contest conducted by a fantasy contest operator or a natural person who participates in the fantasy contest, serves as a commissioner of 10 or fewer contests in a calendar year, and distributes to the contest participants all of the entry fees as prizes. These changes address the issues identified in the bill analysis and make it clear that the persons playing or actually operating fantasy contests are exempted from the gaming laws rather than just the fantasy contests themselves. A penalty exists for conducting fantasy contests on collegiate, high school, or youth sporting events, and the gambling laws and penalties for violations of this section would apply. Mr. Chairman, that is the delete all amendment.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Senator Young on the delete all amendment? Seeing no questions, I have one appearance form, and I believe it's Paul Sego. Sego, did you want to speak on the amendment itself, or did you want to speak on the bill as a whole? Okay, then I'll bring you back up after we get through this. Let us adopt the amendment first, if that's all right. So there's no questions on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? Okay, without objection, let's go ahead and show that amendment adopted. Now we are on the bill as amended. Any questions for Senator Young on the bill as amended? Okay, public testimony. Paul, you can come up now, sir. And you're with No Casinos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. I'm Paul Sego, Executive Director of No Casinos. We have had a longstanding opposition to daily fantasy sports as played online, and it stems from our interpretation of Article 10, Section 7 of the state constitution. It is our argument that those games are played as a parimutuel pool. And the text of Article 10, Section 7 says lotteries accept those forms of parimutuel wagering approved at the time of the passage of the Constitution are hereby prohibited. And it is our reading that obviously these games were not in approval in 1968 when the Constitution was passed, and therefore our reading is that it violates Article 10, Section 7. Two other issues that we have with the bill as it is. Some lack of clarity in the language could lead to some unanticipated gambling, and the lack of regulation also gives us some concern. But we would love to be a resource to you, Senator Young, as the bill sponsor, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee going forward in whatever way we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Amber Kelly is next. Florida Family, I believe it says Policy Council. Waves in opposition. Thank you. Daniel Russell with, is it the Strong Group? Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to your staff and to Senator Young and her staff as well. My name is Dan Russell, working for the Stronic Group today. We don't oppose this to the bill in concept in any way. We just want to get a little clarification so as to avoid a potential unintended consequence of making illegal handicapping contests that are hosted at Gulfstream already. We've been working with a lot of your staff and hope to continue to do so before the next stop. So thank you.
Thank you. And last we have Brian Pitts, Yes to Jesus. Okay, perfect. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brian Pitts, Justice of Jesus. Well, you got a problem here because you don't know what this is. You really don't. And staff tried to help you with page 4 through 5, talk about the Attorney General couldn't figure it out at the time, Butterworth. That's kind of good advisory. I mean, they do them all the time. I understand it's an old one, but it went back and forth. If you read it,
And actually, Attorney Butterworth, pretty good person to evaluate something like that. You consider his background. And at the end of the day, went backwards towards, kind of couldn't figure out whether it was gambling or not. What's different now? Nothing to review has been occurred. Then, what's the real need to deal with it? Because when you look at pages 5 through 10, you haven't dealt with the most important thing before you even get to this. Is the seminal. And the staff lays it out there to you again. Guys, look, here's the deal. Do not be messing with other stuff that can mess with the major enchilada where we get money now and almost got that screwed up. Now, that it's a sovereign. Okay, and sends notice to you. Staff mentions that. So, guys, look, don't mess with this. We're trying to work with you, you know, sovereign to sovereign. This is not as important as dealing with something that can conflict with it. And they're saying to you, whether it's, a bluff or not, the thing is, it's, they're on the upper hand now at this point, the Seminole. But again, it doesn't matter. It's in our best interest. Deal with them. Then you can deal with this, all this other stuff that may or may not be gambling. Because their position that it is. And if it is, here we go in federal court again on something else. I say this because it is connected, and your staff noticed that it's connected, this issue. Leave it alone. Now, what's the horror? I understand it's going on all over the place, but if the industry is not abusing or causing any problems, you don't need to deal with it. What's the reason to deal with it proactively? I don't see anything yet. What abuses are occurring, improprieties, minors getting involved, things like that. I'm not saying wait, but I say you want to be proactive. What's going on? Don't see any trouble yet. Maybe this is an industry that you don't need to butt into. Then in the language of the bill, you can't tell if you're trying to regulate it or not. In the strike call that you did, showing that you don't understand. Because if you know what you're dealing with, you're going to regulate it or not. It's going to be sent to a department or agency to deal with it. So even from the amendment, it doesn't look like it's a danger. So fix a problem that needs to be fixed. I didn't hear the sponsor in their address. I was waiting for her to say that the real reason we're doing this, we need to be done. She made some general statement about which had no even anecdotal evidence to support it. I'm going to tell you right now.
If you could bring this plane down for a landing for me.
It already crashed with the bill.
Okay.
Okay. But, yes, okay. Now, if it is, you're not ready. Staff on page 10 through 12 talks about federal law you need to look at. It's coming real close to crossing those two acts that's mentioned in 12 through 10 of the staff analysis. You don't know what you're doing with this. It's not an emergency. Deal with what you need to first is the compact, then deal with all this. Thank you very much, but you're not ready for it.
Thank you, Mr. Piss. We are now back into debate. Is there any debate on the bill?
Can I have a question? I hate to go back to questions. I've just asked the sponsor.
You want to go back to questions to the sponsor? Yes, you absolutely. We'll go back to questions, and you're recognized.
Sponsor could address the issue of the, the issues that were raised by the Seminole Tribe concerning, the effect upon their deal with the state. I would appreciate that.
And you two can go back and forth for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And absolutely, Senator Huchel. In the letter that was sent to the chairman from the Seminole Tribe of Florida, I think 2 days ago, they imply that this bill, along with all of the other gaming bills that are currently pending before the legislature, so I'm not really sure exactly which ones they're talking about, but they imply that the legislation would implicate the exclusivity provision of the compact. I would tell you that, let me walk through what that means. There are two provisions that would deal with exclusivity. Number one is the state cannot allow new Class 3 gaming without going afoul of the exclusivity provisions. Class 3 gaming are things like card games, blackjack, baccarat, things of that nature, table games like roulette and craps, slot machines, pyramids, all sorts of your traditional gaming activities. I don't think anyone here believes that 10 guys sitting around a table in the office with fantasy sports teams constitutes any sort of traditional casino gaming. And so the bill would in no way implicate that provision of the contact relating to Class 3 gaming. The second area that could be implicated under the tribe's letter is online or internet gambling. there is a federal law that regulates online or internet gambling that specifically excludes fantasy sports contests because they are skill-based games, and it states in that law that they are skill-based games. But for the sake of argument, even if these were deemed internet or online gaming, there would be no compact implication in terms of revenue to the state of Florida, because that section only deals with guaranteed minimum payments by the tribe to the state, and those guaranteed minimum payments have already been satisfied and have been paid in full. So even if, which I would dispute, this did qualify, there would be no revenue implication to the state.
Any other questions? I think, Senator Thurston, did I see your hand up earlier?
Well, you did, but that was my question. What would be the impact? I didn't get the last part of the sponsor's answer. If she could just, you said even if that was the case, it would still be no impact because of what again?
Because under the compact, which does, you've been doing this a long time. Right. You remember there is a provision in the compact that talks about online and internet gaming. The remedy for that, if the state were to approve that, would be an impact to the guaranteed minimum payments that the tribe makes to the state. Those guaranteed minimum payments have been completely satisfied and are paid in full under the 2010 compact. So there's nothing to affect.
Okay, let's go back into debate. Anyone want to debate on this bill? Any member? Okay. Senator Young, you are now recognized to close on your bill as amended.
Well, we got 3 million Floridians that love playing these games, and they are looking to us to let them know that they are not engaging in some sort of criminal activity. And with that, I ask you to vote yes on this good bill.
Having closed on your bill, Lynn, please call the roll on CS for SB 374.
Senator Beniquisto. Senator Bracey?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Senator Brannon?
Yes.
Senator Gibson?
Yes.
Senator Stube?
Yes.
Senator Thurston?
Yes.
Senator Young?
Yes.
Vice Chair Huckel?
No.
Chair Hudson?
Yes. And by your vote, CS for SB 374 is reported favorably. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none. Senator Huckel moves we adjourn. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.